This is the Australia Report with Vic Aladev. Good day, mate.
Oh, there we go. We got your sting a little bit later. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Nice to speak to you.
Nice to speak to you. I'm not sure if you were listening to that story about Anne Frank at all.
So I just caught the last sentence and I was very intrigued. I'd be interested to hear more, actually.
So what happened was there's been an FBI, well, a filmmaker actually hired an ex-FBI agent, and they've spent years, I think around about 6 years is what I read or saw earlier, trying to investigate who handed over Anne Frank's family. And it seems as though that the most likely person to have done it is a person by the name of Arnold van der Berg. And he was a Jewish guy. He was part of the Jewish council. And they were forced to hand over names in order to save their own families. And it's a fascinating question, a tragic question, because it obviously shows the depravity of the Nazis and it shows the level that people were reduced to. But what the FBI agent and the filmmaker said is we went looking for a perpetrator, but instead found yet another victim. It's such an interesting concept.
It's to hear that. I had no idea. My mind, what comes to mind as well is the significant number of leaders of the Judenrats, the Jewish councils in the ghettos who died by suicide rather than hand over Jewish names, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, certainly it's not for us, you know, with 70 years later to stand in judgment. And when I did the Yad Vashem course, I remember one of our lecturers saying, we do not have the tools to judge what others did at that time. Not talking about the Nazis, obviously, talking about what Jews did in that place. So it's just tragic to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. Carol Z says, desperate measures by desperate people in desperate times, and I think that's right. And C says, you have no standing to talk on this. Well, actually, we have a standing to talk, C, on whatever we choose to talk about, and that is why that's what we do. We do talk about difficult conversations, and we try and understand them from different perspectives. So certainly we do have standing to talk on it, but what you might be saying is right, is that it is so difficult for us to really fully understand the complexity and, as Carol Z says, the desperation that people were feeling at that time. Either way, it is a fascinating conversation. Let's talk about what's happening in Australia, and I believe that the Sydney Festival continues to be a bit of a story.
Indeed it does, and sadly so. And just to recap very quickly, the Sydney Festival is a month-long cultural festival. Festival takes place across the month of January. Music and arts and poetry and dance, etc. And Israel's probably top dance choreographer, Ohad Naharin, one of his works to be performed, or which was performed by the Sydney Dance Company, was part of the festival. And the Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions, BDS movement organized to start boycotting the festival and to protest against the fact that there was an Israeli component in it. And approximately 30 artists at 30 withdrew from the festival, and the media and the attention that this has attracted has been horrendous. I'm talking about front pages of the mainstream newspapers, and it has continued for, you know, the best part of a month, with politicians, federal and state and labor and liberal, everyone buying into this issue. And where it's got to a pretty unfortunate place now, I would say, is that there have been called by a number of voices for the government of the state to pass legislation banning BDS. Now, while one recognizes BDS for the anti-Semitic movement that it is, there are many mainstream Jewish voices saying that this would be counterproductive. It would buy the BDS movement publicity which it could never pay for. And Australia, and to connect back to South Africa, way back when, many people say, I proudly protested against the Springboks in 1970 when they came to Australia. And they hold that up as a badge of honor. And so, you know, so it's protesting and speaking out is part of the Australian way. And so to try and have a law which bans BDS, according to many voices, would be very counterproductive. And sadly, I think it's pretty unfortunate this is now being touted by a number of voices.
Yeah, I guess the problem with that theory is the amount of publicity that BDS has got at any event just for being disruptive. And they really have. I mean, we've spoken about this 2 weeks in a row on the Australia report. It is a huge story, and they've got the publicity anyway. So surely it should be recognized for the damage that it's doing, as we said last week, not just to the Jewish community, but in fact, and not certainly not just to Israel, but to everything. Whatever BDS gets involved with, it absolutely destroys from the inside, no matter what it is. And surely it's worth recognizing that and worth fighting for that.
Well, very much so. And so like, there's a theater here in Sydney called the Belvoir, one of the mainstream theaters, very popular and very popular amongst the Jewish community and has been for years. And they have bought into the whole, they said, we're not going to boycott the festival, but we will refuse to accept funding from the festival, which they're going to accept because of the Israeli involvement. It made the festival a culturally unsafe space, which is beyond...
Oh, for goodness sake.
Exactly. And so I've cited a number of letters to the theater from members of the Jewish saying that we will, challenging them and saying we want to have to do the theater as a result of it. Now, full credit to them for standing by the principles, but what a sad state of affairs that it comes to that. And by the way, for many years, China, a Chinese airline, has been a major sponsor of. Now, no one seemed to be protesting against what's happening in Tibet and what's happening with the Uyghurs and everything. But when the I word comes into the equation, sadly, a very different story.
Well, and also the definition of safe is so fascinating. So it's culturally not a safe space, but it's very comfortable for it not to be a safe space for Jews. And we've seen this. We see this over and over again. Jews aren't even safe in their own synagogues and temples whilst in prayer, but that's acceptable as long as culturally the woke crew can feel safe in their own in environment, and safe means no Jews or Israelis. That's really what it means. Safe has become that, doesn't it?
Well, it has, and in fact, actually, I mean, to your point there, in one of the responses from that theater to some of the Jewish clientele who wrote to object, they trotted out a list of Jewish producers or theater or actors or light technicians who had been part of that theater. And which I think was a patronizing and insulting and offensive response.
Absolutely. Some of my best friends are Jewish, right?
Exactly right. Exactly right. You nailed it in one there. That was their response. Mm. And, so it's a sad situation continues, like, as I say, a month later, it's still attracting undue publicity in the mainstream media. And now, And the sad outcome as well, bottom line of all of the above, is, you know, next time a festival wants to consider an Israeli artist, whether that be whoever it is, and they'll say, oh my God, do we need this headache, which happened to the Sydney Festival.
Absolutely.
In January 20.
100%. If anything, we need to use the term, and I was just thinking about it as you were talking, is this is really what BDS is responsible for is cultural terrorism. And that's what it is, because that takes a something that has got absolutely nothing to do with the cause, and it totally decimates it. It almost lobs a bomb or a grenade inside something like this and decimates it. And we've seen this over and over again. No matter what they get involved with, they completely destroy it using this method of cultural terrorism, and that's what it actually is.
Very good way of describing it. And if, again, going back to that theater, the one which made that culturally unsafe statement, the same performance which that theater was putting on as part of the festival was performed in Perth over in Western Australia. Now, in Perth, everybody was culturally safe. So there was no issue. Why? Because there was no Israeli there. But suddenly same performance happening in Sydney, because there's an Israeli somewhere in the vicinity, oh, it's culturally unsafe. Yeah, I think they'd have a hard time explaining that one.
How's the Jewish community reacting to this? Because Australia's traditionally been one of the places that you haven't seen this type of shenanigan really carrying on as it has now.
I guess the good news, quotes, is that while I said 30 acts have withdrawn, it's 30 out of what I believe is a couple of thousand. So it's a very small percentage. And I mean, the Jewish community has been outraged by what has taken place. And many individual members of the community and the organized representative bodies have written to people, have met with the festival chair and CEO, et cetera, to protest, have made a lot of noise about it. Incidentally, the chair of the Sydney Festival is David Kirk, whose name might be known to listeners who follow rugby. He was former captain of the All Blacks. So one has nothing to do with the other, but, you know, just a fun
fact. Interesting aside. Yeah, it's just incredible and just so disappointing, because it's almost guaranteed, as we said, that next year there will not be an Israeli participant, because it's just very simply not worth it. Vic Aladev, thank you as always. Keep fighting the good fight and keeping us updated as to what is happening in Australia.